following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Well, can you say amen this morning, church? Jesus Christ is Lord. Man, when we hit that verse a while ago, it just got me excited. Just making that proclamation in your life, over your life, over your family, over your church, just knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you say that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life, there are several things that happen. The camp that we have been associated with for many, many years, Dry Creek Baptist Camp up in Dry Creek, Louisiana, everywhere you go, they have a plaque or a poster or something that says, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Even at the workstation, the cafeteria, everywhere you go, there is something that says, Jesus is Lord. And so making that proclamation in your life, there are several things that happens. One of the things that happens is what we're discussing right now. He gives you a spiritual gift, a special or unique ability to do something to make his kingdom grow. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to start off with our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at three specific spiritual gifts this morning. We're going to read up to those. For those of you who are visiting, we are in a series right now. We introduced last week about what is my part. We're looking at the church as a body of believers, a congregation. The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of a human body. One person is an eye, one person is a hand, one person is a foot. We each have our different part to fulfill. And he lists it in several different places. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is one place where you'll find that. Romans chapter 12 is another list of spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, Peter lists a few spiritual gifts in his epistles. And I've challenged you, hopefully by now you've gone to the Lifeway website. Hopefully you've taken that spiritual gifts assessment test. On that same link, there is a place where it defines each and every one of those spiritual gifts that you'll find in the scriptures. We're going to look at some of those definitions today, but we're going to actually go back in just a moment. I know your outline says Acts chapter 8. What we're going to do is we're going to look at three specific spiritual gifts as they apply to a specific story in the Bible. So let's all stand. We're going to start off in 1 Corinthians 12. We read this last week. We're going to read it again up to the three that we'll be looking at this morning. And we said last week that there was always three things that the Apostle Paul did not want his readers to be ignorant about. He didn't want them to be confused about these topics. One of them was the rapture. One of them was spiritual gifts that were here. He said that to this church specifically and to anyone who read it thereafter, he says, I don't want you to be confused about this subject. And he says here, beginning in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, if you come back tonight at 6 o'clock, we're actually in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be looking at what the Bible defines as faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But this morning, I want us to look specifically at wisdom, knowledge, and faith, and we're going to do it by using a passage out of Acts chapter 8. So let's pray, and we'll open up. Go back to Acts chapter 8, and we'll explore that particular part of the chapter. Father God, we thank you so much for this day and for all you're doing. Lord, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that works in the lives of believers to guide us, strengthen us, to prepare us, and to edify your body, Lord God, the church. And Lord, as you promised that You will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Lord. We know that each and every person here, you are preparing, you're growing, you're helping them to walk by faith, and you're helping them to find out exactly what it is that you have equipped them to do supernaturally to benefit your kingdom and the body of believers here at First Baptist Church. I pray that as we explore these three specific topics, Lord God, that you would guide us in our conversation, you would enlighten us, and you'd help us to see, Lord God, how to apply what we have in our lives. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now go back to Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to see if I can find out what's going on with my microphone while it keeps cutting out. And we're going to look at a young man by the name of Philip. Several interesting things have happened already up until this point. Of course, Peter preached his sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. After that, it says 3,000 people believed, they were baptized, and they became followers. Jerusalem is afire with the Holy Spirit. The gospel is growing, it is spreading. But also, along with that, persecution is growing as well. There are rumors about a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He is dragging people out of their homes, throwing them in prison. But the church is also growing. And in Acts chapter 6, we see that there are several men brought in to become ministers. We think that these are probably some of the first deacons that we see in the first century church. Among them is a young man by the name of Stephen. Stephen has been stoned. He's been martyred. He's been persecuted. He is dead now, and Philip is now one of the guys that we're going to look at in Acts chapter 8. And we're going to see that he applies three of these spiritual gifts. They're not called spiritual gifts, but as we read through this passage, we'll see that that's exactly what is going on here. So I wanted to give us a working definition, and if we get it up on the screen here, I've looked at several definitions, and when you go to the Lifeway website, it actually has three different definitions that you can look at by different individuals. But this is a working definition that I put together for us to kind of clarify exactly what is a spiritual gift. So spiritual gifts are unique abilities given by the Holy Spirit after a person has experienced salvation through Jesus Christ that enables a believer to expand God's kingdom and benefit the body of Christ. And so what's going on here in the first century church is not only is the church growing, but the church is being persecuted as well. And this persecution is causing the gospel to spread to many different regions that it would not have normally went to. And we see at the end of this passage that we read today that it goes to one area in specific through an interaction that Philip has with an Ethiopian eunuch. So we go through this passage in Acts chapter 8. The first thing that we want to see is this. In verse 27, it says, wisdom enables believers to take the promptings of the Holy Spirit and make them applicable. Wisdom. How does Philip use wisdom in this particular situation? Look at verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem. These words should sound very, very familiar when the angel says to Philip, arise and go to the south. We also see an Old Testament prophet by the name of Jonah. The Lord spoke to him. He says, arise and go to Nineveh. And what does Jonah do? Jonah goes the total opposite way. He goes and finds a ship, sails towards Tarshish. Of course, we know the big fish ingested him and took him in the direction that he needed to go in. So perhaps Philip is thinking about this story. He knew of the Old Testament prophets. He was aware of the story. And so when the angel spoke to Philip, Philip's wisdom kicked in. Ah, I saw what happened to someone else. I don't want the same thing happening to me. And so he did exactly what the angel of the Lord said. He says, get up and go to the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Remember that in just a moment because it's going to come into play. And so what does Philip do? Verse 27, so he arose and he went. So wisdom enables believers to take the promptings of the Holy Spirit and make them applicable. Sometimes we hear what God is saying to us, but we don't necessarily apply it to our lives. When you have the gift of wisdom through the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear what God has to say to you. You're going to read something in the scriptures. You're going to maybe hear something through a song on K-Love Radio. You're going to hear something by Pastor Adrian Rogers, and the Holy Spirit is going to say, I'm talking to you through this. And then our wisdom says we need to apply this to our lives because this is something that I myself am dealing with. What is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in the New Testament, in the original Greek language, the word wisdom is the word sophia, and it is the capacity to act and understand wisely. So we see here in Proverbs chapter 1, 7, that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So instruction is connected with wisdom. Wisdom is being able to take some type of instruction and apply it to your life. So what is going on here with Philip? The Holy Spirit has spoken to him. He says, hey, you're doing the work here in Jerusalem. We see that revival is going on. It's easy for you to share the gospel in Jerusalem. But look, we got one that's getting away. We got this guy headed back to Ethiopia. He's going south of Jerusalem, and he's not saved yet. I want you to get up from where you're going, and I want you to go find him and share the gospel with him. Do you ever have something just kind of moving you in a direction that you don't really understand? Maybe the Lord is inspiring you to do something that you've never done before. Has God ever spoken to you and said, hey, I want you to get up and I want you to go across the road and share with your neighbor? Did you do it or not? Did you follow his promptings or not? And maybe is God asking you to do something right now that you're a little bit hesitant on? Maybe during the invitation time, you've done this before. You've sat there with your hands on the back of the pew in front of you. You've been white-knuckled. God is telling you to get up and go forward, go pray, go talk to the pastor. But you said, I am not going to go. I shall not be moved. I'm going to stay right here. What wisdom does is wisdom takes what God is telling you and helps you to apply it to your life and moves you in the direction that God wants you to go in. So do you have the gift of wisdom? In some sense, we should all be applying wisdom to our lives. When you go to the Lifeway website, it has a list of each one of the spiritual gifts and a definition here. Definition of wisdom, according to Lifeway, is this. It says, wisdom is a gift that discerns the work of the Holy Spirit in the body and applies his teachings and actions to the needs of the body. So here's what's going on. The gospel is spreading throughout Jerusalem and Israel, but God wants to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. And actually, in that time when this was written, the Greeks and the Romans considered Ethiopia to be the uttermost parts of the world, the end of the earth. So God is giving Philip the wisdom that he needs to get up, go to the road that is south of Jerusalem, and share with this one specific person. William Fay wrote a book called Share Jesus Without Fear. I don't know where he got this statistic from, but in his opening of this book, he says that most people, before they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, on the average, have to hear the gospel at least 7.6 times. I don't know where that 7.6 comes from. But the Lord is taking Philip and sending him to someone that needs to hear the gospel. Could be for the first time. Could be for the sixth time. Could be for the eighth time. We just don't know. But some of you here have heard the gospel so many times Those of you who are saved, you think back to your conversion. How many times did it take for you to hear that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son? Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God has given Philip this spiritual gift to discern the work of the Holy Spirit. Philip could have said, no, I'm doing a work right here. This work is profitable. The church is growing. They need me here. But the Holy Spirit is hammering in his head, no, I need you here instead. Yes, what you're doing here is a good work, but I have something very specific that I am calling you to do. I have a place that you want to go and an individual that you need to talk to that I'm going to use in the future to take the gospel to a place where nobody else is going to be willing to go. What is it right now that's standing in your way? Maybe you have some racial issues. Maybe there are some denominational barriers that you need to overcome. Maybe there are some socioeconomic issues in your life, some different groups of people that you don't want to be a part of. Maybe God is going to move you in a direction, put you in a place where you're uncomfortable, out of your comfort zone, and share with somebody that you've never shared with before. Wisdom and knowledge, what is the difference between the two? And can wisdom actually be a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit? I think yes, if it is for a benefit of the body of Christ, to propagate the gospel in places where it doesn't normally go, I think that God will give you a special gift of wisdom to be able to accomplish that. But in our lives, each and every one of us have been in a situation before where we get this urge. We get this prompting. We get this, something just makes us uncomfortable with the place that we're at, and we're saying, I think God is calling me to go to this place and do this particular task. Wisdom and knowledge. Not everybody has wisdom. Not everybody has knowledge. Knowledge comes through a period of time, through learning and teaching. Wisdom is something with common horse sense, if you want to call it that. One time our good friends, Bill and Thibodeau, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this one of these days, but one time our good friends, Boudreaux and Thibodeau, were working for the state, and the backhoe was broken down. They had a ditch that they had to dig, so they were having to do it manually. Man, it was hot in the summertime. They were sweating, but they were getting it done. And all of a sudden, Boudreaux says to Thibodeau, he'd say, hey, Tib, I notice our boss up there, man, he's got it made. He's sitting up there under the shade tree. He's drinking his iced tea. He's all cool, and here we are sweating to death, working in this ditch. You know what? I'm going to go find out why he's up there and why we're down here. Tib says, okay, man, I can't wait to hear your response. I want to find out. I want to hear what you find out when you go ask him about that. He said, okay. So old Boudreaux goes up. He says, hey, boss. He said, I need to know something. He said, here, me and Tib, we're working in this ditch. We're sweating. Our backs hurt. It's hot. And here you are, sitting under this tree, sipping on your tea, watching us work. Why is that? Now, boss pulls his sunshade down. He says, well, Mr. Boudreaux, I'm glad you asked. I think I can explain it very easily. He puts his hand up against the tree zone. He says, Mr. Boudreaux, as hard as you can, I want you to hit my hand. Old Boudreaux said, oh, man, I've been waiting for this opportunity for a long time. So with all of his might, he rears back. And he lets it fly right before he makes contact with his boss's hand. His boss pulls his hand out of the way, smack right into the tree. Oh, Boudreaux, his knuckles are busted. He's hurting. He said, now see, Boudreaux, I had wisdom enough to pull my hand away before you hit it so that my hand would not hurt. Oh, I think I get it now. So he goes back down to where Thibodeau is. Tip says, hey, Boudreaux, what'd you find out? What'd he tell you? He said, man, he said, he has wisdom. Thibodeau said, oh, man, wisdom, what is that? Boudreaux says, well, hit my hand. I don't think he quite caught on. The wisdom just wasn't there for him. But what Philip is doing here He's doing more than just hearing the voice of God. I've spoken to a lot of people here lately, and they say, you know, I think God is talking to me. I think God is speaking to me. But I'm just not quite sure what it is that he's trying to say. And many of you have heard me before when I was dealing with my calling to go into the ministry. I had an elderly man. He was a retired pastor, seminary professor at one point in time. And I kept going to him. I said, Brother Sutton, you know, I think the Lord's calling me. What should I do? He said, pray and read your Bible. Man, that was some of the best wisdom that he could have given me. But I think wisdom is not only just being able to read the Word of God. I think wisdom is not just being able to hear the voice of God. But I think wisdom goes beyond that. I think it goes into actually taking what you've heard, what you've read, and doing something with it that benefits God's kingdom. And here's the thing. The more that we hear the voice of God, the more he will direct us to places that we need to go, and also to help us avoid the places that we do not need to go. You ever get in a situation where you just get a bad feeling about where you're at? This little red flag goes up and you say, you know, I'm uncomfortable with this situation. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, you don't need to be there. You need to separate yourself from that group of people that's making you feel uncomfortable, because they're going to lead you down a path that you don't need to go down. On our own, we're asking for disaster. When we pick and choose the places that we do go, when we pick and choose the places that we should not be, most of the times we're asking for disaster in our life because we're not praying for the Lord to speak to us and guide us. But by listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we begin to develop this discernment just like Philip had. So I want to give a little demonstration about maybe what it means to have wisdom enough to listen to the voice of God. Miss Deborah, would you come help me for just a moment? No, I want Miss Deborah, just one volunteer this morning. All right. Now, first of all, do you trust me? Should I find another volunteer? So, okay, give me a fist bump. Okay, you didn't snail me, so I trust you. I got snailed last weekend. I don't know who's teaching our kids that, but. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I'm going to put my Bible right over here. Now, wait a minute. It's going to be pretty easy. I want you to go and get my Bible and bring it back to me. Is that pretty easy? Okay, well, hold on. Let's make it a little bit more challenging. Can we make it a little bit more challenging? Do you trust me? Mm-hmm. You do? Okay. Well, we're making progress here. Well, I'm good. We're getting started off on the right foot here, I believe. Uh-oh. I'll pick that up in a little bit. All right. Can you see anything? I don't want you to see anything. Can't see anything, okay? Now hold on just a minute. Which direction are we headed in? Do you know? Wait. Hold on. Don't move it. Right here. Hold on. Now, do you know your right hand from your left hand? Which one's your right hand? Raise your right hand. The one that you write with. That's your right hand. Okay. So this is your left hand. We got that straight. Okay. Now, do you think you could find your Bible, my Bible, on your own? You want to try? Okay. Okay, hold on just a minute. Hold on. Stop. All right, let's do this. I want you to turn to the left. Turn to your left. There you go. I'll take three steps forward. All right, stop. All right, the other way. Turn to your right. All right, nope, just a little bit. Back the other way. All right, Now walk straight until I tell you to stop. Straight. Okay, you need to turn just a little. You're walking a little bit crooked. All right. Walk straight ahead. Don't touch nothing. Straight. All right, stop. All right, turn to your right. One more step forward. To your right. Back to your right. No, back to your right. Further to your right. Oh, look at that. All right, give her a round of applause. Wasn't that much easier when you listened to my voice and the directions that I was giving you? Okay. So do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to do that for the rest of your life? He wants to talk to you and guide you every step of the way? All right, good job. You want that bandana? You need that? Okay. Good job. Thank you so much for helping me. Folks, as a Christian, you could do it on your own, but it's a whole lot better and a whole lot simpler and a whole lot safer when you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. When He's giving you those warnings of places not to go, when He's giving you those promptings of places that you need to go, the Bible says that if you'll listen for that still small voice, He's going to guide you every step of the way. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him and what? And He will direct your path. Pray that the Lord will help you increase in wisdom every day of your life, that you would not just hear the voice of the Lord, but you would apply what He's telling you to your life. One of the next things that we see happening with our friend Philip here, picking up in verse 27, says, look, when he did exactly what the Holy Spirit told him to do, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said, notice this is twice. The angel of the Lord spoke to him in verse 26, gave him the direction to go in. Now that he is having this encounter with the person that the Lord is preparing, the Spirit says to him a second time, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And before we go any further, let me just ask you this question. On the count of three, I want everybody to shout out who the prophet Isaiah is talking about in this passage. One, two, three. Jesus. That's exactly right. No doubt about who the prophet Isaiah is writing about in this passage. What a coincidence, huh? You don't believe that's a coincidence, do you? This is the Holy Spirit working out this situation. Where did this Ethiopian eunuch get a copy of the prophet Isaiah? I don't know if the Gideons were around back then. Maybe he had his little pocket-sized Old Testament that he was reading through. I don't know where he got it from. But it just so happened that he had a copy of what he needed to hear, what he needed to read, and something that Philip could explain to him as well. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Here's the thing about knowledge. Knowledge reveals itself through taking what is found within the scriptures and making it sensible. Because you told me exactly who that was that Isaiah was talking about. You had knowledge enough to know the Old Testament prophet was writing about someone who has not yet came along. We now know who it is, but you have enough knowledge of the Word of God to understand that that's exactly a messianic prophecy that Isaiah is writing about. Why did Philip need to explain this to this Ethiopian eunuch? Because the Ethiopian eunuch was not yet saved. The Holy Spirit had not enlightened him on what these scriptures were all about. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2 and give you something that explains why we need to have knowledge of the scriptures to explain to people what they are about. Here's what the Bible says about people who do not know Jesus yet and why they can't understand the things that are written in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And here's the thing, pay attention to this. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. There are certain things that a lost person cannot and will not understand in the scriptures. Just like Deborah when she had that blindfold on a while ago. She couldn't see what was going on until I removed that blindfold from her eyes. And if you'll remember, back in January, we had a man here who was teaching us how to pray more effectively for the lost. Brother Lee Thomas came, and one of the very first things he wanted us to understand was that lost people are blinded by the enemy. Why couldn't this Ethiopian eunuch understand what he was reading? Because Satan had him blinded to the truths of God's word. But the Holy Spirit was directing someone who knew the scriptures well enough to come and have an interaction and a conversation with this man and explain to him exactly what he was reading. Here's LifeWay's definition of knowledge. It says that knowledge is the gift of knowledge manifests itself in teaching and training in discipleship. It is the God-given ability to learn, know, and explain precious truths of God's Word. A word of knowledge is a Spirit-revealed truth. In the Greek language, the word knowledge is the word sophia, and it means that it is the content of what is known. So for the Holy Spirit to give you knowledge, you are able to see things in the scriptures and also be able to explain them to someone in a way that they will understand what these scriptures are all about. One question you may ask is this: where did he get this copy of the scriptures from? We don't know for sure. We know that he was in Jerusalem. Was he there at the time of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost? We don't know how long he had been there, but he had been there to worship, and obviously somewhere along the way he'd gotten enough of the scriptures to have something out of the prophet Isaiah. And what a starting point for Philip to begin preaching to this man. It was a messianic prophecy. And Philip used the knowledge that he had been given of the scriptures to preach Jesus to him. And you might be here today and say, Brother Tracy, God hasn't given me the spiritual gift of preaching. Well, let's just back up a little bit and let's define what it means to preach. In the original Greek language, the word preach is the word euangelizo. It's where we get our word evangelism from. And it actually means to bring the good news. Not necessarily in a sermon form, but what is Philip doing? He is preaching Jesus, bringing him the good news that God has provided a Messiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, to become a sacrifice for all of mankind. And it says at that point, we don't know what else he preached to him, but at that very point, prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53 in our Bible, Philip began to preach Jesus to this Ethiopian eunuch. And he wants to bring him to a point to where this Ethiopian eunuch will say, Jesus is Lord. Here's the word to him. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul told his young protege, Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2. He says, preach the word. Friends, God has given you enough knowledge to see in the scriptures those verses that pertain specifically to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Sunday when I give an invitation, what I'm doing is I'm equipping you to take somebody through ABC. First, you must admit that you're a sinner. Second, you must believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Third, you must confess your sin and commit your life to him. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many times have you heard that? Repetition, memorization. I'm trying to ingrain that in your mind to where you will say, when I meet somebody who doesn't know Jesus, the first thing I need to do is let them know you have sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God. You can't get to God on your own. Therefore, God has provided a Savior for you. You must first believe that Jesus is that substitution for your sins. Third thing you need to do is you need to confess your sins. What's the verse that I use? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God has raised you for that. You should know that by memory now. But God has also given you the knowledge to say, I need to go in my Bible and highlight those verses that Brother Tracy keeps telling us over and over and over again so I can use them as well. The Lord may not send you south into the desert to meet someone you've never met before. But he may send you to the grocery store. He may send you to the gas station. Person across the pump from you. Hey, would you like to hear some good news? And preach the word to them. Remember our statistic that we talked about just a moment ago. Bill Fay, William Fay, share Jesus without fear. 7.6 times is the average that somebody needs to hear the gospel. Philip is now preaching the word to this Ethiopian eunuch. He's starting in an Old Testament passage because the New Testament is not written yet. He's telling him exactly what he needs to know about Jesus and bringing him to that point of repentance and decision. So when's the last time that you've actually sat down with discuss what God has shown you in the scriptures? Maybe shared your life verse with someone. Look at what this Ethiopian eunuch says in verse 31. How can I understand? How can I know unless someone does what? Guides me. Do you want to know where we get the term leading someone to the Lord comes from? This is it right here. Taking and showing them in the scriptures who Jesus is, what he's done, and how they can too can experience the gift of eternal life. That word guide there means to lead or to teach. Moving on, we see something else happens. If you believe in coincidence, you can call it coincidence, but this is all God coordinating every event that takes place in this account. Verse 36, remember where we're at now. We're on the road south of Jerusalem. We're headed toward Gaza. What did it say in verse 26? This is what? Desert. What is in the desert? Not water, but sand. But look at what happens next in verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. Imagine that. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, let me ask you this. At what point would you say that this Ethiopian eunuch experienced salvation? At what point would you say that the Holy Spirit of God imparted to him some level of faith to where he was willing to make a decision and commit his life to Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. In the desert, getting baptized. Some people would think that's an impossible situation. But here's what faith does. Number three, faith leads believers to trust God's provision when the situation seems impossible. When you say there's not enough funds, when you say there's not enough manpower, when you say that can't be done, someone has to step up and say, I know a God in which all things are possible. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. How many times does a person need to hear the gospel before they're saved? Maybe you're thinking of someone right now where you're saying it's impossible for them to get saved. I know a God who can. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says that by grace you're saved through faith. Think about how God has saved you. Think about what he has provided to save you. Some would say that was impossible. But God has provided a Savior for you. Lifeway defines faith as this. Faith trusts God to work beyond the human capabilities of the people. Believers with this gift encourage others to trust God in the face of apparently insurmountable odds. Do you have faith right now? The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. For Philip, he had to have faith enough to go out of this area where he was at, Jerusalem. He was comfortable. He was familiar. But I want you to this dry, parched area out in the sand, out in the desert, low traffic. Maybe your chances of having an encounter with someone are slim to none. But Philip had enough faith to say, I know God is up to something. I see what he's doing in Jerusalem, and I know he wants to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. That, to me, is an impossible task, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. So faith leads believers to trust God's provision when the situation seems impossible. And I think at some point, when he believed, the Holy Spirit gave this Ethiopian eunuch the gift of faith, enough to where he was willing to trust him and be publicly baptized right there in the desert. So this whole story right here, I think it shows us another picture. Not only does it show us the spiritual gift of wisdom, knowledge, and faith, how Philip applied wisdom, knowledge, and faith to his life, how that Ethiopian eunuch stepped out in faith, wanted to be publicly baptized. I think this whole encounter reveals to us something else. This shows us how relentlessly God pursues after us when we're in a desperate situation. This shows us how relentlessly God is pursuing after people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I think about the prodigal son. Every day, that father would get up and he would look for down the road, waiting for his son to return. And when he did, he ran out to meet him. That's what God is doing. He's looking for someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And he's pointing out to us as believers, he says, I want you to go meet that person and share with them what I've done for you. But most importantly, I want you to share with them what my son Jesus has done for them as well. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And right now, he's either working things out in your life to bring you to a point to where someone can sit down and explain to you how to be saved. Right now, out there in Morgan City, God is working on someone else's life, coordinating situations to bring them to a place, maybe where they're going to cross paths with you. Maybe they're going to cross paths with someone else. Maybe God is going to start speaking to them in ways that they've never imagined before. And maybe, just maybe, God's going to get you up in the morning. He's going to say, hey, go down the road just a little bit. I got somebody waiting for you. Will you have faith enough to go and share what God has shown you to someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Right now, God is working out details in your life to bring you to a point of obedience and belief. Perhaps this is your first time to hear the gospel. Perhaps this is your 100th time. Perhaps this is just the time that God is bringing you to a place where you have faith enough to trust him with your life. Would you step out in faith today? Would you be obedient to what God is asking you to do? He's not going to force you to do it. That's not true love. The Bible says that we love God because God first loved us. And every day of your life, he is prompting you. He is nudging you. He is speaking you. He's allowing people to come into your life and to show you things that you've never seen before. Maybe explain things to you that you've never seen before in the scriptures. But maybe today is that day where you need to take that first step. And you, like the Ethiopian eunuch, now that you have fully explained, fully heard what it means to become a Christian, maybe you, like that Ethiopian eunuch, would say today, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that I'm lost. I believe that I have sinned. I've disobeyed God. And I believe that right now, if I died, I would spend eternity in a place called hell. But I also believe that God is not willing that any should perish. I believe that God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I believe that there is no other way for me to have forgiveness of my sins than through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that would be the greatest decision that you would ever make in your life. Just to speak up and say, Jesus is Lord of my life. And by faith, I received his free gift of eternal life. And I want to commit my life to being a follower of Jesus each and every day from now on. Maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit is moving you in the direction of some type of service for him. And you're just a little bit hesitant of fully surrendering to him. Maybe you're like Deborah was a while ago. You're stumbling around. You don't know which way to go. You can't see which step to take next. Maybe you just need to get at this altar in just a moment and say, God, I want to hear your voice more clearly than I ever have before. I want to feel your Holy Spirit moving me in the direction that I need to go in. Have you surrendered your life to him? I'm going to pray. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing our closing hymn. Whatever decision it is that you need to make, don't put it off any longer. We'll be here in the front. We'd love to talk to you, pray with you, pray for you. We'd love to show you in the Bible what it means to become a Christian, how to surrender your life to the Lord. Whatever it is, don't put it off any longer. Be obedient to that voice that you're hearing right now. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for this day. Lord, what an incredible story. Just seeing you work out all the details in those two people's lives, Lord God. Preparing Philip's heart to move in the direction that you were calling him to. Preparing this guy from Ethiopia to receive the truth of God's word from someone that he had never met before. Helping them to overcome so many different barriers and obstacles in their lives. Lord, that guy from Ethiopia, he was that one sheep that went astray. And you left the 99 and you went after him because you knew he needed to hear the truth that Jesus saves. And Lord, if there's anyone here right now that is a little bit hesitant, maybe they're a little shy, maybe they have some fear in their life, I pray, Lord God, that you would give them the boldness to make a public profession that Jesus is Lord of their lives and surrender their lives to you. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.